Everybody, welcome to another great edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Girard. Joining me tonight, well, it's just Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Well, we can't really tell you. He's on a undercover story we're developing here exclusively for Talking Tigs. I think we're looking at a Caribbean kicker. Daniel's doing a recruiting story. We'll get more of that later. He's
on an official visit. He's
down in the Caribbean. Is that right? Am I accurate? He's in the South Sea.
He's somewhere. Like he's on an official visit on a boat somewhere. Right. So good for him.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We can't really talk about it quite yet. But anyway, we are happy to bringing you the news for this week for LSU and beyond. Of course, the Tigers had a good week. They ended the three-game skid, bettering Vandy 24-17. LSU's got one game left. We host Oklahoma, who had a good game themselves this week, knocked off Bama. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But, hey, at least we stopped the skid. And, I don't know, it looks like our running game is back. I don't know. Hi, Josh Williams. Nice to see you again. He had a great game. Can't wait to talk about all that. Tommy, hope you're doing well. Glad to do it with you again. We'll miss Daniel, but we'll make up for it somehow. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, good to be with you. Good to be talking about a Tiger win. I mean, this is not really – typically, you're not saying, oh, man, this is what a great win against Vanderbilt. But that's the season we're in right now, and I guess a win's a win in the SEC. But, yeah. You know, like we said last week, we're playing for pride. We're playing for all of that. So, you know, a decent win, but mm-hmm. not much more to say. I feel like we're not.
No, no. But you know what? The only thing I would say and add to that is this wasn't your daddy's Vanderbilt either.
That's true.
Because they handled Alabama, which at the time looked like, oh my gosh, what's Vandy going to do this year? And then the Tide just totally put it on us.
Yep.
But then, I don't know, we handled Vanderbilt just fine. I was kind of worried about what they could do offensively. And, man, they took one play to kind of confirm those fears, right? Because they took one – they scored with one play, literally, to start the game. And then I was like, all right, well, this is either a fluke and – we're not going to let that happen again, or it's the beginning of a long night.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was the first one, and we kind of did figure it out, and we limited them pretty much. I mean, the score was kind of close, but I think LSU was pretty much in control for most of the game. It didn't feel like we were going to start wavering and lose momentum or lose steam like we had in the last 3 weeks. Of course, it would have been nice to score more, but – for what it was, we'll take it. For crying out loud, the losing streak is over. Who knows? We could finish the season with two straight wins against Oklahoma, who, I don't know, somehow beat the brakes off of Bama. I don't get it. I guess this is, like you said, that's this year. It's no holds are barred. But at least we hopefully got some swag back. Now, I would say overall – our offense did a little bit better. Felt like we did have a little bit more execution in the red zone. Again, thanks to Josh Williams and his hard running styles. We also had some other good things. I mean, we kind of gave up that first big play, but after that, we kind of contained on defense, which is great. No big issues with special teams. So I'll take it. I know there was a team meeting after that last loss to Florida, but you know, hopefully that kind of helped resolve some issues. And from what some of the players like Will Campbell were saying, it's, you know, it wasn't on the coaches. It's off to the players to kind of execute. And that wasn't happening. I guess this game that did at least enough to win.
Yeah. I mean, at the top, I think you look at Garrett Nussmeier throwing for over 300 yards, 28 for 37, one touchdown, no interceptions. That's a huge improvement over the past couple weeks that we've seen, you know, the past, 12 quarters of play that we've seen before this game. And right. So I think that, a solid game for him. I don't think nobody on our team really showed, you know, had a career game, but we took care of business, which is what we needed to do. I mean, they held Diego Pavia to 186 passing yards. I mean, 13 for 24, not his best game. I mean, that's not the phenom game that he had where he beat Alabama. Held him to 43 rushing yards, which has been an issue for us.
Yeah.
And so I think that overall, solid, steady. I'd give it a C plus B. You know, like nothing really concerning. Like you said, that one fluke, the fluke touchdown at the beginning. But other than that, you know, it's really, really shaped it up. And after that touchdown, and there you go. That was that. It's just kind of, you know, it's almost like a disappointing win in that you look at that and you're like, man, this team can really, I mean, it is Vanderbilt, but this team can perform. This team is good enough to compete. Where is that on the highest stage? Where is that, you know, against, where is that in the second half against A&M? Where's that against Alabama? So, right. Or definitely against Florida. Right. So that's a disappointment. I mean, but gosh, like you mentioned, I mean, this entire season, nobody's safe. I mean, the amount of teams that went down this week, the SEC went, you know, just gosh, went for a, had a bloodbath in the SEC.
Yeah. Like all these coaches in the hot seat there, they're trying to cool it. You know, Billy Napier, I would say,
bought himself another year, probably. One.
Hugh Freeze got a win from Texas A&M, who is still in playoff contention. It's just crazy. Now,
Ole Miss.
But it is disappointing because you think, well, if we'd have seen some of the play that we saw Saturday versus either Florida or A&M or both, who knows? Maybe the Tigers would still be sitting pretty, because it's increasingly likely that if it's a three-team or three-loss team, could possibly, maybe, still make the playoff depending on what happens this weekend and maybe any subsequent conference championship games depending on who all goes. But, yeah, it's like you can see that these guys are, you know, LSU is good and can control the game. And, well, I mean, it, like I said, it would be nice to have a little bit wider spread, because I think we played much better, more than like a 7-point win. But again, we'll take it. But still, I don't know. It's just some of the stuff we saw with the running game. I don't know. I know that Garrett Dellinger was out for, you know, ever since A&M, and that obviously affected some things. He's still out, but we finally adjusted. And I don't know. Josh Williams was making runs like we saw 2 years ago, which is great. And I would say, I don't know. Do you think any of this has to do with the uniforms? Because we introduced brand new uniforms first time since, I would say, almost 30 years ago. They did this last time in 96, I saw, or they mentioned it on the broadcast, because apparently Vandy was coming to town and they didn't want LSU to wear their home white. So we were forced to pick something else. We went with gold. Some of the color combinations were different, but I think they look great. Over time, I was like, you know what? They would probably look better for other people if the numbers were white with gold border. But I still thought, or instead of that, maybe the helmets were like a dark purple. But still, I didn't mind. I liked it. I think you even said it maybe looked better at some point.
I was not a fan, especially when they showed the pictures of just the jerseys, like not on the, but I feel like on the field, they looked better than I thought they would. I wasn't a huge fan, but I think they were better than. Do you remember those other gold ones that, like, I remember Leonard Fournette wore them. They were like old gold. It wasn't like this. Like, they were definitely like an improvement over those
or something. Yeah,
not good. So these, I like those. I like the ones that we wore. I think that maybe it did have something to do with it. You know, like maybe it has to switch it up. You know what I mean? Like, everything's, who cares at this point? Like just throw something out there, see what happens.
Right.
I hope that's not a, I hope that, you know, that's like, I don't know if you've noticed, it feels like the purple on white is like the new, alternate that we wear like a lot, like purple jerseys, white pants, white helmets. I think they started that in 2019. Burrow was where wore those, and I felt like we wore those like half the season. I hope that that this yellow does not become like the official alternate. But I mean, it was cool. It's just, you know how it is. It's like, it doesn't feel like LSU to me. Like,
right. Cause we get away with wearing our white pretty much every game if we can.
Yeah. Like that's LSU to me. And like the same thing with Alabama. Like, I mean, I don't know how Alabama swings it. They don't do alternate jerseys ever. Like, how do they get to do that? How do they get to be just themselves and we don't?
You know why? Because they have titles a lot more.
Well, fair enough. And they had the greatest coach ever, so like they got to someone who at Nike's going to go tell Nick Saban what to do,
right? Exactly. Or the fans, because they don't care. I'm sure some fans would like to see something different, but they only have two colors, right? Pretty much everyone else has three. Like I can, it's like white and then two other colors.
Yeah.
But for Alabama, it's only maroon and white. You know.
Yes.
I guess A&M would black. Be the same. Mississippi State would be the same, but they incorporate black a lot of times too. Anyway, but
man, some of those alternate. You know, it's like you go into alternate worlds. Sometimes you go too deep. Some of these alternate jerseys just look terrible.
They do, yes. Although I will say, now that we've seen this, and I'm okay with the gold again. I think they could switch the color of the numbers just to go better, because I don't know, it looked fine, but I think it could look even better. Or I know we wouldn't really do a black uniform, like LSU's not going to do a blackout game, and I'm kind of glad we don't do those, because it kind of sets you up for
it's kind of played out at this point.
Yeah, so but I wouldn't be opposed if they did a super dark, like deep purple, as close to black as you can, but it was purple. But, you know, noticeable.
You know, that's what was kind of cool? Remember when they wore those ones with, like, the really dark purple helmet, but it, like, kind of, like, shined gold in the light? Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That was kind of cool. Like, maybe you do something like that. Have we ever worn purple pants with – I don't think so.
I don't think so. We'd have to look. Like they showed a picture of that old Tigers uniform in the 90s. And of course, the one that you were talking about with Fournette with that, it's kind of like a mustard yellow gold. But I don't think I've seen purple pants. That would be interesting.
Okay, I just pulled it up.
Oh, you did? Okay.
It looks like, I mean, they did it like, I mean, it was before our time, I think. Okay. 95. I mean, it was before my time watching LSU football.
Right.
But I mean, they don't look that great. The problem is you when you start playing around with alternate colors for LSU, you end up just looking like the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
And so then it's just kind of, you know, what's the point?
Right. Well, no, but I mean, we've even, you know, objectively other fans have said, yeah, they got some cool uniforms the way they are. Just the white tops, gold helmets, gold pants. Or whatever that alternative is. But anyway, we'll promise in the offseason, we'll devote a whole pod to uniforms, but I think we should move on because there's a lot to cover. Because again, now we have that one in the books. LSU looked better. Hopefully, I didn't see Brian Kelly yelling at anybody, although just from what I've heard, you know, some of it, it's fine, it's justified. I mean, they did have a team meeting, some players organized a team meeting. Maybe that's what helped. But like I could see now that I see what it was about that he was yelling at Chris Hilton about. Yeah, it's like the guy was jumping before the ball was there and it was just affecting his ability to catch. And you're like, hey, don't do that. But he keeps doing it and it would have result in, I guess, non-preferable outcomes. And that's why he's saying stop doing that. But you don't listen. You're not coachable. I don't know. That's kind of hard. I mean, he could probably do it a lot more diplomatically on the sidelines so the whole world's not seeing it. But still, guys, the guy's invested. You know, it's like there's some times where Les Miles, like, you wanted to see that. He was just kind of, oh, all right, well, I guess that's not working out.
Aloof.
But anyway, I don't think he's lost the team, so to speak. He has lost some recruits, though. And I guess we got to talk about that because he lost the biggest fish he's probably caught since he's been to LSU. Well, no, that's not true. I guess, I don't know. Was Bryce Underwood bigger than Walker or Howard? Because Walker's no longer with us, and he's not starting where he's at now. So I don't know. It's kind of scary because you think what – because, I don't know, it felt like some of our class was lining up because of Bryce, number one quarterback, number one wide receiver, number one running back. Now we lose Bryce, but I think it was mostly just a business decision for him, right? Like Michigan threw too much money at him. He's like, all right, now I feel dumb if I turn down 10 plus or $12 million. Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, Michigan all of a sudden – makes me feel like a better decision to play with and develop as a quarterback for the next level. No, I'm just getting more money.
Yeah. I mean, the amount of money that, isn't it $12 million? They're offering. So, I mean, that's insane money. What I've heard, and I'm interested to see if you've heard anything different. I've heard LSU was close. I think we were at 10. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, it's not like we offered 6 and they offered 12 and doubled it. Now, I mean, it's still $2 million more dollars, but I think it's concerning just because of what it says about our program. It says about what we're, you know, what are we selling right now? What are we putting together for? And I mean, I don't know about the NIL aspects of like the package we're putting together, but I do feel like there's an issue, or I don't know if the pitch we have from a program standpoint of the winning culture, the future looking bright, the vision for building a championship quality team. I think that, you know, that probably had something to do with it. Like maybe Bryce Underwood comes to an LSU that isn't on a three game losing streak, that he, you know, goes and watches get blown out of our own town, our own place on his official visit. I don't know. Just for $2 million.
Right. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I guess my hot take on that is I don't think so, because what's Michigan's record? I don't think theirs is as good as ours, and they play Ohio State this upcoming week. Right, the biggest game of the year, and they'll probably lose. They're playing at Ohio, so it can't be that. Like, really, I think it's just the timing, because Michigan has been pursuing him constantly, but even after the season started, they've been going more, because guys like Dave Portnoy and all these other alumni, or, you know, just people with money, have been slowly stacking their bread. And yeah, LSU maybe could match it up to a certain point, but my take is, at some point, if that's what it is, it's like, oh, Michigan's offering him 12. What are we paying for? Like, what paying him 12 and a half or 13 million just to get his commitment does not guarantee us a dang thing. That's We've had true. Five-star QBs before.
Yeah.
I can tell you what happened. One of them, we ended up converting
wide receiver for us.
Yeah, Russell Shepard. The next, you know, the one before that, Ryan Perlew, got kicked off the team. Yep. The one after that, Gunnar Keel, guy was on campus for, what, 2 days, and then he transferred to, guess who, Brian Kelly, so at Notre Dame. I don't know. I don't think that you can really put your finger on it, but, yeah, we lost him. It sucks. I don't know and that it's
like you mentioned,
based off our record or play. Maybe. Only Bryce could tell us that. But I think it's more about the bank. And – at this point, I don't think LSU should be paying out the anterior end for guys that have not played a snap in college football. You know why? Because I was watching, you know, I was following the news of Bryce. He was doing well in high school. Didn't even make it to the state finals. His team lost. This guy's the best QB in the country, and his high school team lost. I don't want to hear it. Him coming to LSU would not have guaranteed anything. Probably would have made us feel better, but.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you can't say a guarantee. We were, if this was, you know, what, 4 or 3 years ago, we talked about Walker Howard the same way. No, I mean, I think objectively, like, Bryce Underwood has a better ceiling. Yeah, his grade is better. They say he's got better, better, you know, physical attributes. He's taller, he's quicker, faster, all that. But you, yeah, you never know how they're going to pan out. I mean, Christian, what was the guy? You remember this guy, Christian Hackenberg?
Yes.
He played for Penn State. You know, like he was a one of the top.
Yeah.
You know, oh man, he's such a good, he's going to be the best quarterback. He's going to be the next Tom Brady. Like, you don't know how that works out, but losing the number one player in the country does sting, regardless. And yeah, it, I think it does say something about where we're at. I think that, you know, does a Nick Saban Alabama team close that? I feel like they do, regardless of whether, you know, Michigan pulls the trigger on 12 million. I don't know.
Yeah. Or, you know, even if it wasn't like a 3-game losing streak, like if we hadn't lost to just basically some of the issues of why we lost to USC or why we lost in the second half to A&M, or you could even look at the Florida game. It's like if some of those issues weren't there and LSU only had two losses and was possibly playing for the SEC championship. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that's the difference. But again, I still think it, like Michigan would have not stopped pursuing him. Who knows? Maybe they could have kept piling cash until he said, okay, guys, 13 million, stop. All right, I'll join. But I mean, I don't know. And that's a weird thing to put on a player because that's Bryce Underwood. You know, I don't know his situation, but you know, some of these guys, their parents are still fine. But for the guys that, you know, come from maybe not as good a means or background, or the whole family's hurting, and he could change like a generation. Oh,
that's generational. Yeah, that's life-changing money for him plus everybody around him. So,
right.
I mean, yeah, I get that part. But do you – okay, when you're talking about that, I don't have the fortune of being able to really decide between $10 and $12 million. But – does the extra two make that much of a difference when you're kind of thinking about like, well, how many quarterbacks, I guess Brady, that, you know, they put, the Michigan's put out, LSU, Burrow, Jaden.
Well, they put out a good coach, I guess. I mean, Harbaugh played in college. He did okay.
That's true.
He ended up coaching them to a title. That took, you know, probably 20 years to come to fruition. But as far as QBs other than that, no, not really. They've had good to okay QBs. I mean, the last one, because when he signed, I was like, man, what's the last QB that maybe Michigan had that made any sort of waves? I'd say, I don't know, maybe Denard Robinson. I know
he came up
likely last year, but other than that, it's been pretty mum, pretty quiet.
Yeah.
So I'd say Denard Robinson way before that.
So he's not going to a quarterback factory.
Right.
But yeah, I guess now that the other kind of through line of this is, and I don't necessarily know how much it is the, you know, a lot of people in the LSU media are saying we're really behind on NIL. This is just another example of our NIL apparatus being behind. We couldn't close the deal on it. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, the Bayou Collective or whatever,
right.
Bayou Traditions. I think that is pretty, it seems pretty weak to me just from like seeing, you know, it's like, it does not have the presence and the prestige that TAF has, the Tiger Athletic Foundation. So maybe that is something that, you know, this is another example of our NIL just not being up to par. But again, I think your point is correct that, like, you know, is this guy, it's, we'll see, like maybe next year he comes in and he starts for Michigan and wins the Heisman as a freshman. And it's just, you know, maybe he is the truth, but I, you know, chances are, as we've seen in the past, like he's probably not going to change that much of their, you know, their fortune in the Big 12 or Big 10.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, there's also, it's like LSU has plenty of alumni probably with deep pockets. I mean, look at all the guys we've put into the pros recently, or in the past. So again, maybe LSU could have, but I would actually have more respect if we found out that at some point LSU was like, ah, I mean, we could, but we're just choosing not to because this is ridiculous.
This is kind of ridiculous.
$10 million to a – or we've given $10 million to a kid, and it's not enough. Whatever. Anyway, so that's that. I don't know. There could be other, you know, fallouts because of it. I don't know. Hopefully not. I mean, LSU – for the moment, still has DJ Pickett, the number one cornerback in the country, although I don't know. There's – who knows? Anything could happen, right? We've had other top prospects. Although, then there's the flip side to that is – but one of the Weeks brothers or cousins or whatever is now reclassifying to 2025. He's committed to LSU. We've got guys that want to be here and want to play here that are talented. We just got to coach them up. Get them to
I mean, ability. Like you said, we still have DJ Pickett, still have four-star cornerback Cade Phillips as well. I think that I mean, Harlan Berry is supposed to be somebody that, I mean, they're calling him the what is it? His comp is Reggie Bush, I think.
Okay.
I mean, so and that, those are all positions we need. Those are positions of strong need. You know, running back, cornerback. I think that. Now, the one thing you talk about fallout, like there is Derek Meadows, the wide receiver from out of Las Vegas. He is he's still on 247, is committed to LSU, but I saw that he had decommitted and was flipping to Michigan. Maybe he hasn't fully decided yet or formally flipped, but that's kind of the fallout of Bryce Underwood, you know, going to Michigan is, you know, he's probably got some guys that is a package deal type thing where they all want to play together. But overall, I mean, I do think that it kind of sets up for, I guess, the return of Nussmeier. He'll probably come back next year. I don't think he's had a good enough year to really make any noise in the NFL. So, you know, maybe he comes back for another year. I guess he could also check out and see what some of the Colin Hurley Ricky Collins. Yeah. Colin Hurley and Ricky Collins.
I know. Or, confusing.
But
I think it was AJ from Vanderbilt.
AJ Swan from Vanderbilt, but I don't think he's going to, I don't know. Well, we got a lot of quarterbacks that are, and
We always seem to churn out wide receivers, so if we don't get the number one wide receiver in the country, oh, damn well.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Looking forward, I think LSU can still salvage their class. We're still at we're still in the top 10, even without it, I think. So we'll see. Now,
overall six right now.
Yeah.
So respectable.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, as long as Kelly's within the top 10, I think he's recruiting as he should. Cause you can't be number one every year. It's, you know, you're not Nick Saban or whatever, but anyway, I would say winning helps everything. So
yeah,
win against Oklahoma, win in your bowl game and build for next year. Cause yeah, if we do have Nussmeier come back, if we do have some of our, I mean, we know we're going to lose probably Will Campbell and maybe one or two others of our line, but
we the talk is Emory Jones coming back though, which could be key. So
supposedly Perk could come back too.
Perkins coming back as well. That's what you, I mean. That's always a good, yeah. Having a few key players come back. They talk about the 2019 team. Rashard Lawrence coming back for his senior year was a huge, you know, keep
and
for that team.
Braden Prohoko too, I would agree.
Yeah. So having a few guys come back could really make the difference. I mean, I don't know if this team, we're already looking at 25. I mean, I don't know if this 25 team is going to be much more competitive than we are right now, but having a few guys stay back definitely helps.
Absolutely. And again, just win out and, you know, hopefully you can salvage what you already have, build for next year. Now we do have one more game at home against Oklahoma. I, you know, last week I would have said, yeah, I like our chances. I mean, they, I don't know, man. It's frustrating because you're like, how could Oklahoma, who pretty much had a losing record to the SEC, like how are they able to dominate Alabama like that? They had 3 points. Alabama didn't even score a touchdown. Milroe looked like I don't know. I hate to say it, but I'm trying to think of something comparable. Yeah, he looked like Brandon Harris out there. It doesn't compute. What did they do? How come we couldn't do something like that with 2 weeks to prepare, no less? So it just boggles the mind. But again, maybe that's the parity. I think college football, everything's getting more on par with each other. I still think somebody like Texas, who doesn't really have a win against a SEC team with a winning record, some of their other play has been suspect. Meanwhile, they only have one loss. They're in the top five. They're playing for an SEC championship game appearance next week in College Station against A&M, their bitter rival who hasn't played in over a dozen years. That's one thing. Now, Oklahoma probably feels good about this, but they're coming into Tiger Stadium, and it looks like it will be another night game. So I think the crowd was a little bit less this week based off our last 3 weeks, three straight losses. But hopefully we can finish out the season at home with a true Tiger Stadium environment, get the win, and do as we should. I mean, we're really just playing. I don't know if we're really even playing for bowl games at this point, because if you're not in the playoff, I think it's just really a crapshoot. But anyway, I like to think we still have a good chance, especially from what we'd seen. Hopefully the Tigers turned a corner and that we can win even better than we did against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think they have kind of – I feel like it just makes sense. Makes too much perfect LSU sense for us to come out and close out the season and probably win, you know, a solid game against Oklahoma, a team that just beat Alabama, and just totally confuse everybody to where you can just say, like, wait, where were you? Where right. were you when it counted? Right. But I think you're right. Like, part of me would want to say, like, yeah, LSU loses because then everything makes sense. It's like how you picked LSU to lose last week. It's like, well, that just makes sense because this is a bad team. We can't put it together. This team doesn't deserve to be solid. But that's LSU football. It doesn't make sense, and it hasn't for years. It only made sense in 2019, and so I think that I think we probably do win. That they're going to come into a hostile environment. We've had good luck against Oklahoma in the past. You know, took a national championship from them, beat them in the Peach Bowl. I think we'll be okay. Right now, the line is LSU -6.5. I don't love that. I think I'd probably take Oklahoma to cover, but I say we probably win. And I think it's probably similar to the Vanderbilt game where, you know, nothing spectacular. We don't, nobody just absolutely shows out and just, you know, kills it. But we take care of business and, you know, finish the season with a really disappointing, weird way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's like, this is the game that, I don't know. I was trying to think, was it Caleb Jackson? Was that the guy from last year that was like, oh my God, this guy's great. I can't wait to see what he does next year. And then this year it's just crickets. It's all Caden Durham. So yeah, it's like, this would be the game where Caleb Jackson runs for over 100 yards. Chris Hilton gets 3 TDs. Like,
this is where Hilton's going to go and like have like a 65 yard, you know, over the top streak route, and he's gonna and you're gonna be like, wait, he can do that?
Right. Yeah, he's gonna have like that game Kayshon Boutte had against Ole Miss the year before or last. So yeah, it's just nuts. Anyway, so I think LSU, yeah, I don't know. I'd like to say we could cover the 6.5, maybe even more. It just depends. But I don't
like it.
Now that we got that monkey off the back of losing, maybe we can build off that. I don't know. I'd like to say LSU could win by 7 or 9. So I'll go, just if we were just tossing out scores here, I'll go I don't know, but it's still, it's like at home against Vanderbilt, we could only get 24 points. We probably could have got more, but I'll say 26-18 Tigers.
I'm gonna say 28-24 LSU wins. They don't cover.
Right.
I think it's a big exhale to end the season. Just like, you know, and great, you win. You know, you go to a bowl game, and woohoo, you can maybe win the Cheez-It Bowl or the Pop-Tart Bowl or something like that, but not where you want to be. It's not where what Will Campbell said at the beginning of the year, where if you're not competing for a championship, you know, you lose your job here. It's not the sentiment that we have, or that he talked about in SEC media days, but it's what we got this year.
True. But you know what? It's not just us. As we've noticed, it was another week of wild upsets. I mean, I don't know. All of a sudden, Florida is world beaters. They beat Ole Miss, and Ole Miss now has three losses. I don't think they'll lose against Mississippi State this upcoming week in the Egg Bowl. But, you know, Kiffin's not happy, and he's the guy that, you know, we probably all thought was going to be the world beaters because they did so well in the transfer portal. But – no, they just couldn't do anything. I don't know. Billy Napier has his guys turned around completely. That's what we kind of like to see, or would have liked to have seen after the A&M game. But, oh, well. Then you also had Arizona State best BYU. Kansas made the primetime Colorado subprime, beat them by two touchdowns or more.
Two touchdowns, so, yeah. That was bad.
Yeah. Wow. And then there was another close ones like Penn State was Minnesota had the best of them for most of the game. They came back and won that one by one, 26-25. And I hate to admit it, man, but Georgia, the final score looked better. It was like 59-21. But at some point it was a lot closer. Like Georgia kind of trudged through that in the beginning. And they slowly pulled away towards the end. But, man, they just – they do not want to make it easy for the committee to say, okay, yeah, Georgia's definitely in there. I mean, they're playing in the SEC championship game. Remains to be seen against two, but I was kind of disappointed in my dogs. Although, apparently UMass is – don't know. I mean, they've had a pretty good season still.
Well, I mean, that's college football, and it's crazy that – I mean, this week has probably been the – biggest bloodbath week we've had this year. But like you said, Ole Miss going down, you got Colorado going down, Texas A&M going down to a really bad Auburn team, and then Oklahoma absolutely dishragging Alabama. It's crazy. It's fun to watch, but it's also it really clears out the field, and I'm just like, I don't know who's going to be there at the end. It's kind of disappointing for the SEC because you're kind of killing your own chances of getting into the playoff. And you hope that the committee will take into account, like, hey, these teams are probably better than. Well, okay. Actually, do we think that it is that the SEC is, you know, any given Saturday the SEC is better than most everybody else, and so, you know, a bad Auburn team that win against Texas or that loss for Texas A&M should look better than the Colorado loss? Are we going to say that, or are we going to say that the Alabama loss to Oklahoma should look better than other teams' losses? I don't know. But to me, it feels like Alabama not taking care of business, A&M not taking care of business, or Ole Miss not taking care of business against a Florida team that I don't think is very talented. Right. I think that crushes a lot of their hopes to get in the playoff. I don't think that they're going to get the SEC, SEC card played as a get out of jail free card.
Right. It's not the same as in year past. Cause like, honestly, the fact that Texas has the best record is, I don't know. It's amazing. I still don't like, I would imagine they could win at A&M because I feel like hopefully overall they're the better team. But just looking at who they've played already, that's why I think they're suspect. Like, yeah, they could beat A&M, but I don't think that they would beat Georgia in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like if they were playing an away game in the playoffs, you know, I don't know, depending on who that would be against, I don't know that they would do it. If it was at, you know, if they were playing at Ohio, I don't know that they would beat Ohio at Ohio, you know, at Ohio State, that is. Now, if they were playing at Indiana, yeah, I'll give Texas that one. I'll give Texas if they were playing, I don't know, Arizona State or somebody, whoever makes it, or Clemson, for crying out loud. But yeah, so it, well, I guess this week, this upcoming week, and the week after will determine a lot because there's a lot of good games. I mean, Georgia Tech's been feisty. They've already knocked off two good teams this year. I think Georgia can handle it since they're playing them at home, but there's that. And then Georgia's playing the winner of Texas A&M, where there's that game. Then there's also SMU and that's the SMU's going to play Clemson for the ACC title game, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Clemson has to play South Carolina.
Yeah,
that's going to be a good 17. Game. That's going to be a – well, I think it's going to be a good game.
I mean, don't sleep on South Carolina. Mm-mm. I feel like they can, you know, take care of business. You got Notre Dame, the USC. That could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Then, like you previewed earlier, Texas facing Texas A&M for the first time in forever.
And it's a night game and Kyle Field. So I know they'll be rocking. I think if Texas goes up, you know, by two scores and that stadium's going to be quiet and it's going to be a humdrum game. Then you have, of course, Ohio State and Michigan, which Michigan has won, the last three, which is crazy. But yeah, obviously a downer year for them. Who else? Because I feel like, you know, this is rivalry week.
I mean, is it weird to say Vanderbilt and Tennessee?
Right. I guess the only outcome of that would be is if Vanderbilt beats Tennessee. Because Tennessee, if they win, I think they're in the playoff no matter what. They won't have a SEC championship game to knock them down another loss. So if Tennessee wins, I'd say they're in the playoff. And they're actually a more solid team to me than Texas, I would put them against. That's just how I feel.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think that was interesting. Just that, I mean, obviously with our win against Vanderbilt, maybe the luster's a little bit off, but right. They've been playing decent ball, and Tennessee has shown chinks in the armor. So mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's a game. It's an 11 a.m. spot on Saturday morning after Thanksgiving. Could be a letdown spot. It's at Vanderbilt. Watch out for the Vols. But I mean, do I think they'll win? Probably. I think Tennessee probably takes care of business. But it's a perfect little letdown spot for them.
True. I mean, there's some other good games. I don't know. I think Miami has one last game to prove if they deserve or not. Like if they lose to Syracuse, then no, they don't. But yep. I feel like they should take care of business. But yeah, they won't have the ACC championship game to drag them down any further. I don't know. It's weird still saying that SMU and Clemson are, you know, SMU's playing for an ACC title game.
ACC title. But what about this? SMU's playing for an ACC title game, but first they need to play in conference against Cal.
Right. Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah. And what is it? What is it? It's two. Daniel's not here, so I'm going to mention it for him since he's on that undercover recruiting visit. But Tulane and Army will be playing for their title game, right? Army's first ever. And I think that's it. For the Big 12, though. I forget who that would be.
Well, Colorado before that loss.
Right. But now, I don't know. It's all over the place. So I'd say I don't know. This is where the committee is really going to be, you know, someone's going to feel screwed over no matter
what. Right now in the Big 12, there's a four-way tie between Colorado, BYU, Iowa State, and Arizona State, but all at 6-2.
Right. So
I don't know how the head-to-heads are, but
right. Because that was the weird thing. It's like if LSU hadn't lost last week, somehow we still would have been in the SEC title game hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, I guess because our one loss before that, you know, one of our losses was out of conference, so we'd have been fine. But
yeah.
Anyway, a lot to look forward to next week. Glad to have Daniel back to help us with all that, because man, it's going to be nuts, and it is going to come down to these playoff rankings. And we knew it would happen. It's now we're going to, from 4 to 12, but people are still going to be arguing and complaining that they got left out, and refs cost us this, or the conference blew that. Whatever, doesn't matter. I mean, sorry, don't lose to Auburn. Auburn is horrible.
Yeah.
You lost to Auburn on the road in overtime, too. It's just amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's like, I don't know. Not to bring it back to LSU, because that's just beating a dead horse. Anyway, hope the Tigers come to play and close out the season as they should. Other than that, I don't know. I mean, basketball's starting to pick up. They're playing in these holiday week, you know, these week, not holiday, but these tournaments. Men rallied to beat UCF, of all people, in overtime. So it was a good win for them. They did lose earlier this week, but it's okay as long as there's some improvements. Same with the Lady Tigers. They rallied to win. Probably against a team they should have beat outright, but whatever. It's all parity. Everyone's getting even. I don't know. What else do you got? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that's about all I got. I haven't tuned into our hoops yet.
That's okay.
But you know, I'm paying attention from the sidelines, you know, seeing some good things, seeing some people getting excited. But not all in on the McMinn yet.
Right. Fair enough. I will say though that, did you have a chance to watch? This was probably one of the craziest finishes I'd seen in an NFL game, which was the Commanders against the Cowboys.
Remind me. I feel like I did watch it, but
okay. So it was the Cowboys. I don't know. They just came out of nowhere and were actually playing okay, and had the they were up like 20-9.
Oh, with
Washington,
and they had a rush in. Right, Cooper Rush is in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did watch this
season.
Yeah.
So Dallas was up 20-9 to get to Washington. There's like less than, I want to say, 10. I know 10, maybe even 7 minutes left in the game, and Jaden Daniels drives them down the field, and they score. Probably one of their best drives in weeks, because Washington had lost 3 straight themselves. Very next play, Dallas returns the kick for a touchdown.
Oof.
But not too, like, what, I'd say, like, 2, maybe even 3. Right after that, Jaden throws a strike to their guy with 30-something seconds left and gets a touchdown. Like, if he was tackled inbounds, game's probably over, because they would have, yeah, didn't have any timeouts left. They had a run up there, spike it, and who knows. And that was only like midfield. Guy runs a touchdown. They missed the extra point. I know. So then they try the onside kick. Dallas like just found a seam and ran the onside kick back for a touchdown. Crazy. Mm. But the fact that Jaden had them in that game, it's just amazing. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, just thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we covered it a lot. There might be something we missed, but we still covered it a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything else?
Nah, I think that's about it for me.
Okay, good. We'll check in with Daniel. I'm sure he'll come up for air and check in with us, let us know what he found out there. But until then, I think that'll do it for us here on Talking Tigs. We will have results for you next week, both with the Tigers and beyond. And we will see what this first 12-team playoff would probably look like. We're going to have some predictions for you before the committee comes out with their eye test rulings. But until then, hope everyone has a great week, a great and happy Thanksgiving. Stay safe if you're traveling out there. So until next time, stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Takes.